Today we shall be looking at a topic dealing with temptation. Dealing with temptations. And interestingly, I thought I made copies, but the one who was supposed to bring the copies decided to run away with them. So I would just thank God I took my own copy from it. So I will be speaking to it. Amen. You know, God is good. God has a way of, since I've already prayed that God should deliver me from temptation, that was a temptation alone for me to be angry. So the Lord delivered me ahead of time from that temptation. And I want to thank God. But I really wanted us to have it, because there are some exercises I wanted us to do. Because if the Lord will permit me, I would just want us to look at a few things that can spur temptation here and there. So that we'll not just be looking at temptation as one very serious issue, when actually it is very simple to enslave us. Very simple. Our Lord Jesus, while teaching his disciples the pattern for prayer that we today call the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Lead us not into temptation." And if you agree with me, that statement of the Master, when he said, "Lead us not into temptation," is very key, very, very serious, and very, very essential if we will, as a people, survive the tests, trials, and travails of this present age. To pretend that there is no temptation anywhere is to live in delusion. And to think of ourselves as being immune to temptation is to live in falsehood. So we must know that the times we live in requires that we know exactly how temptation manifests, the gateways to temptation, and the way out of temptation. So our study today, we look at these three cardinal issues: the way temptation manifests, the gateways to temptation, and the ways out of temptation. How many of us here, you have never been tempted before? I was thinking at least maybe the ministers will not be tempted, or others, maybe the diaconate chairman too. But it appears it's even our own temptation that is even more. Praise God. I've seen a lot of people think or mistake temptation to mean persecution. They are being tempted. They say, "You are persecuting me." You know, persecution brings us reward. But temptation is when you, yourself, when you are already fallen. Temptation reminds you that you are fallen. Temptation is a wake-up call for every man to come back to life, that something is happening to me. And today, we'll look at John chapter 1. I'd like us to open our scriptures to John chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 to 15. And after we would have looked at verses 12 to 15, we'll look at how temptation matures to the point of death and afterwards. Please, let's read together, or just follow me as I read. James. Did I say John? I meant to say James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. The Bible says, "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, I want us to go back to 14. I'd like us to mark that particular phrase, that when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives forth death. The portion we have read now opens us to the serious issue of temptation. Temptation on its own is a strong urge. Temptation is a strong urge or desire to have or do something wrong or that is unwise. Whenever a man begins to develop a very strong urge or desire to do something that is unwise and to do something that is wrong, then that man must know that he is being tempted. Now, when you are also developing in you a strong urge to have something that you know is not right, it's not your own, it is not supposed to come to you, but you are desirous of it, then you are being tempted. And this evening, very simply, we are going to be looking at some very serious issues so that we know that these things, when we say we are tempted, we will not just be remembering what Jesus went through and think that it's only when we fall into that category that it is temptation. How did the Bible describe temptation in James chapter 1 from verse 14 and 15? Let's look at it again. The Bible says that, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away. The very first issue we must know on the issue of temptation is that a man is only tempted when he himself is drawn away. That is another translation. Is it NIV? Puts it that when he is dragged away. I think it's NIV that said dragged away. Yes, NIV said when he is dragged away. Now, I want us as believers, as Christians, as members of IBC, to look at our life very carefully. Are there issues that naturally drags us away from the common norm? Whenever you find yourself being dragged away, then you know that there's trouble brewing. And we will look at the scriptures very carefully to see those who fell into temptation. Were they dragged away? Were they drawn away? Whenever a man begins to feel within himself that he is being dragged away, temptation is coming. And now the Bible did not say he's just being dragged away, but he is dragged away by his own evil desires. He is dragged away, not by somebody. Not somebody saying this. No. That one is maybe trying to lure you or whatever, or trying to suggest to you something that is wrong. But temptation happens when inside of you, you begin to be dragged away. And every one of us must carefully begin to look at our life. Am I being dragged away from what is right? Am I being drawn away from what is right? At the point at which any believer begins to be dragged away from what is right, that man has been introduced to what we want to talk today, that is called temptation. And the Bible went on to say that he's dragged away by his own desire, and he is now enticed. He is now enticed. And after he is enticed, he gives birth to what? Then after desire has conceived, when you are desirous of these evil things, you become enticed. And when you become enticed, the next thing that happens is that enticement brings you to the level where the desire inside of you will make you conceive. Now look at what we're talking about now. Desire on its own can come like desire for sex, desire for money, desire for power, desire for pleasure, desire for food, desire to be given a lofty position. That is still at the level of desire. Now, all these things on their own, they are not evil. They are not evil. It only depends on the stage that you are in. As a matter of fact, even if you are not married and you are beginning to have the desire for sex, it is not even a sin. And I like to say it that I can be quoted from here and very clearly. At the point at which the desire begins to come, you are only being exposed to temptation. But at that point, it is not yet sin. As a matter of fact, that is why the Bible was careful enough to say that flee youthful desires. So even for youths, they feel it because they have blood flowing in their veins. So these desires come up. As a matter of fact, when you have youths who do not think this way, who these desires don't, who's this, who in them, these desires don't come up, then they need to go and see Dr. Arayenka and Dr. Ore and find out, are they normal? Is everything okay with them? So that we can check them and be sure that everything that has to do with human being is working well in them. Now, these desires will come. Now, at the level of the desire, it is no sin. Now, the Bible said that, but when this desire is carefully nurtured, when this desire is carefully watered, when these desires are carefully pampered, then enticement will not enter. The level of enticement is where you will now begin to find yourself alone with the opposite sex. That is the enticement. The area of enticement is where you now begin to find yourself having opportunity to explore the desires. That is the enticement. The level of this enticement is where you now begin to find yourself secluded from people who can help you. That is the enticement. I had a little issue when I was growing up. And when we were growing up, we used to eat rice only on Sundays. Any other day apart from Sunday, we don't eat rice. So it is always a special delicacy. Whenever it is Saturday going to Sunday, we are excited. We are going to eat rice today. So we are always very excited. So this day, they cooked rice. I don't know why, but it happened that the pot of rice was in the room. It was in the room. They kept it in the room. And my mommy was sleeping in the room. I don't know what pot of rice was doing in the room, but it was in the room. And when they kept the room, I felt like eating rice. I was desirous of rice. And this was my desire. I wanted to eat rice. It is no sin. Is it a sin? I want to ask you, is it a sin? That is desire. That's my desire. But at the point of this desire, I got enticed when I entered the room and I saw this pot. The enticement now came. Immediately I saw it, I went to where my mom was sleeping. I began to sing. I was doing it to find out if my mommy was really sleeping. And as I was doing it, I didn't know my mommy is a very good, we used to say actress, but not English, they say male or female, it is still actor. I didn't know my mommy was a very good actor. My mommy pretended as if she was sleeping. So I concluded my mommy was sleeping. So I went, I carried the spoon, opened the pot. As I opened the pot, I started singing again. My mommy started snoring. I didn't know that you can form snoring. It was for my mom I discovered that you can form snoring. My mom began to snore. I said, this man has gone far. And I took the spoon. I scooped the first one. As I scooped the first one, as I was about to put it in my mouth, my mommy stood up and looked at me. As she looked at me, I said, mommy, should I take? And I asked you, did I intend to ask her? No, but she caught me. Now, there is a journey the Lord will be taking us through today. And I want us to understand that there are issues we must say bye-bye to today.
And at the point at which my mommy did not answer me, I put the food back. That one plate, that one spoon, I put it back. But because my mommy has removed her eyes, as I put it back, I started hitting the spoon on the pot. So my mommy knew that I put it back. Oh, that didn't concern her. When my mommy woke up, these two bonbons, it's only God that helped me that I still have it. She almost finished me. She almost finished me. I was enticed. People of God, there are so many desires that has not been helped in us because we were enticed. There are desires that comes to a man that you must not allow enticement to come. I have my wife. No matter what I feel, I must know what I must not do, where I must not do it. So there are desires that come to a man by nature, naturally is allowed. But the moment you begin to fuel it, you begin to create problem for enticement. And that is why I have seen people who said, Pastor, my problem is, who is the, my problem is how to handle a lady. Pastor, each time I see a lady, I will be shaking. I say, why are you shaking? Why are you shaking? He said, Pastor, I can't control myself. When I'm with a lady, I can't control myself. I say, you can't control yourself. Then you need somebody to hold hands with you and pray with you. Before long, you'll see this brother who said he cannot control himself when he sees a lady. He will go and hold a prayer partner. Who is the prayer partner? He will go and call his sister. Sister, let's agree together. I can't control myself when I'm with a lady. And it's a lady you are going to go and hold hands together with to pray for you. You are opening yourself to enticements. You are opening yourself. And so that is why if there are people here, which I know we are here, we cannot deceive ourselves. We have desires that are dragging us away. Do not allow enticement to come into it. All those things that you know that they are objects of enticement, run away from them. Because you have not yet sinned. But if you allow that enticement to be fully grown, how did the Bible put it? Now the Bible says, and after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. My sister, please come. Come on, that let's analyze something. Please come quickly. We want to see how these things happen. Now, when you begin to feel on your own that, suddenly, my God, I don't know how to do it, but each time I see this brother, I can't control myself. I feel like doing it, but I don't know. And you are thinking of it. In the morning, you are thinking of him. In the afternoon, you are thinking of him. In the evening, when you pick up your phone, you are looking at him on Facebook, and you are thinking of him. You cannot. You are already gradually fueling it, and you start getting pregnant. You know, the Bible says, when it has fully conceived, the first month of pregnancy will now set in. And when that first month of pregnancy sets in, they will look, they find out something is happening to you, my sister. I know nothing, I'm okay, nothing. And before long, she's nurturing it. She's nurturing the baby, which is still in the first trimester. He said, this baby must stay. And every opportunity she sees to help fuel what she feels about brother who? That what she feels about brother, she's there. And she now enters into the second month of pregnancy. Instead of her to have done everything possible to make sure that pregnancy goes down at that first point, she's nurturing it. So that the desire has gone beyond desire. It has now gotten to the level of enticement. And the next thing she's looking for is when she comes to church, is Brother Kunle in church? Brother Kunle in church. The pregnancy is entering the third month. Is broccoli? She's coming to church. Pastor Lawal is preaching, talking that everybody must run away from sin. Is broccoli in church? It has entered the fourth month. And he's saying, people are saying, my brother, you must do away with sin. You must run away from sin. And they are saying, sister, your belly is growing. Sister, something is happening to you. You know, sometimes when you see people who commit sin, no sin is committed immediately. Sin is a gradual process that a man carelessly enters into. And when people who are more mature are calling your attention to it, that bro, something is wrong with you. He said, don't worry. You seclude yourself. You remember, seclusion is enticement. You seclude yourself from people who can help you. It is entering the fifth month. And people are wondering, brother, sister, we are no longer seeing you in church. We are not seeing you in church. What is happening to you? He said, the work I'm doing now, the work is getting, that's in short, they have made me the general manager of our company. And your problem is already setting. You have entered the sixth month. And people are wondering, bro, sister, the kind of involvement we used to have you do in church, the things you used to do in church, you no longer, even when people make contribution, and sister, something is fundamentally wrong with you. He said, no, there's nothing. You will now enter the seventh month. And people can see that there is something wrong with sister. Do you know sometimes when some people want to evade spiritual issues, when you are calling their attention early enough, they will now begin to quote scripture out of context and you will enter the eighth month. As we look at it, you can see that deliberately something is really wrong with sister. Something is wrong with sister. Now, can we look at our life and check issues in our life? It is not yet seen at the point of desire. But at the point at which you are now beginning to carry many things into you, you are beginning to enter into problem. And you now enter the ninth month. Brother, you are fully pregnant. How many of you here, you know you are pregnant of sin? You know how the Bible said in verse 15, the Bible said, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. I pray for you that what happened to her will happen to all of us. If there is any sin that we are carrying, there will be an abortion in Jesus' name. There will be an abortion of such sinful acts in the name of Jesus. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said, and when the sin has fully conceived, the Bible says what? It gives birth. Oh yeah, give birth. Ah, sister, all these things inside of you. You know, this was what happened to Brother David. David looked at a woman lustfully. If he had just seen and removed his eyes and say, I've made a commitment, my eye, I will not look at a woman lustfully, that is good enough. Because the world we live in, we will see both the things we want to see and the things we don't want to see. It is for us to say, I have seen it by mistake, I will not look again. But some of us, we keep looking. We keep looking. Now, Brother David did not only look, he saw and he went. He said, please, who knows that lady? And he said, please go and bring her for me. That is where he began to fuel it. First month, second month, third month, fourth month, till the ninth month. And after they brought her, he slept with her. Another child came. After sleeping with her, the baby came. Instead of him to confess his sin, he said, no, go and bring the man back from the fight, the place of war. That was even an error. And after that, he said, kill him. You see, this is how, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. Please go, my sister. May the Lord abort from you anything that appears like sin in your life in Jesus' name. May the same be my experience. That anything that appears like sin, even in my life, may the Lord help me to bring to an abortion every of them in Jesus' name. People of God, are you beginning to see that there are issues in your life that is just a desire, which is not a sin? It is just a desire. But you have allowed enticements to bring you to the point where you can explore the thing. To the extent that you are not only being enticed at the moment, you have now conceived fully and you are giving birth to evil and sin. There are three issues, three gateways to temptation. What are the gateways? Number one, the lust of the eyes. Number two, the lust of the flesh. Number three, the pride of life. You know, I keep wondering, when a guy will be watching television, a brother will be watching television, and he's seeing nakedness of women, and he's complaining. He's saying, this society has spoiled you. This society has spoiled. See now, see what they are doing. See what they are doing. See, you see. This is bad. See. And as you are saying, see, you are looking. You have not said for one, see, and remove your eyes. And you are even calling your wife. Please, dear, come and see you. Come and see you. Come and see you. Come and see you. Maybe your child is passing the front of television. You say, remove, go from there. Loss of the eyes. People of God, what are you looking at with your eyes? I have come to understand and to know that the eye is the gate through which acceptance, desires, and cravings spring from. Look at Eve. How did Eve fall? The Bible said that Eve saw the fruit and desired that it was pleasant to the eyes. The moment at which Eve saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes, she fell. People of God, if you are presently being tempted, can I tell you? Agree that you are being tempted. Don't say you are not tempted. Agree. Confess it. Say it. Talk to someone. Cry about it. Else, it will be developing. It will be developing. By the time you fall, people will be saying, ah, but this brother is a bro in church. No, he is a bro in church. But he has been enjoying one evil desire that he allowed enticement to add to it. Watch it. The second gateway is not just the eyes. The second gateway is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is a serious issue. Temptation to feel physical pleasure from sinful activities like sex, drug abuse, physical violence, all these things are issues that borders on lust of the flesh. I preached one time last year, and I talked about some people who stand in front of the mirror, and they are dressing up almost for 25 minutes, they are still dressing up. It is terrible. It's dangerous. Not dangerous. It's dangerous. For somebody to stand in front of a mirror, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes, you are checking all your body contours. You are checking which one is staying well. You are shaking well, pressing well, looking well. There is problem. There is problem. These are gateways to temptation. My brother, I'd like to ask you, why are you doing all those things? Is it because of your husband in the house with you? It's not. You and I know. These are gateways to temptation. And we must check them. We must watch them. Otherwise, we'll be in trouble if we don't check it very quickly. The third one, which is the gateway to temptation, is the pride of life. Sometimes a lot of us desire to belong. We want to belong. We want to show off. We want to make a statement. We want people to know that we have arrived. You want to walk in and you want to be noticed. The moment you are walking in, you want people to know that, yes, bro has entered. Watch it. The pride of life is setting in into you. You want to be valued more than others around you. If others are giving this, you want yourself to be this. When it's not as though you have any any right over them. You are the same, but you just want to be on top. No, watch it. At your place of work, watch it. Even amongst your friends, watch it. Pride of life is setting in. And that's a temptation you need to watch. Bragging rights. You just want to have that bragging right, so that you can use this one against that one. Watch it. Temptation is setting in. You want to have position of power over others. Watch it. Temptation is coming in. It is the pride of life. Jesus Christ faced these three things. Lust of the flesh. They gave him bread. He said, turn this stone into bread. Lust of the flesh. So that you can satisfy your hunger. Your body needs food. He said, no, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. And the second one, pride of life, he also faced it. They took him up there and said, jump down. When you jump down, the angels will bear you. Let me show so that when I fall, they will catch me. Pride of life, you don't need it. He overcame. The other one, they say, okay, look at everything here. I will give you. Lust of the eyes. Look at it. I will give you. He said, no, I won't fall to it. Even as pastors, you know, long time ago, I had a challenge. And I like to say it to the shame of the devil. Long time ago, you know, I had a challenge. And I say it to the shame of the devil. Somebody said something. And after we prayed for the person, the Lord answered the person. And after the Lord did it for the person came to share testimony. And while he was sharing the testimony, I was happy. I was sitting there where I was. I was excited. And I was waiting for him to also add that. And I told Pastor Ike, when I told Pastor Ike that Pastor Ike prayed for me. But after sharing all the testimony, he didn't mention that one. And he left. I said, this guy did not finish that testimony. He didn't finish that testimony. I was not happy that he did not add that testimony many years ago. But the Lord told me, he said, son, do you need it? Are you not seeing that the pride of life is entering into you? Are you not seeing that you are missing it? And I said, Lord, I am sorry, because it is not about me. It's about you. You know, there are some small, small things we say, it doesn't matter. Temptation is knocking at your door. Before long, you will see a person call you, say, did you finish the testimony the last time? Didn't you tell her that? Why didn't you tell her that I prayed for you? Why did you just say God? So God just did it from heaven. Won't God walk through somebody? Let's check our lives. Are there issues that we need to check? As we close, well, how can we overcome temptations? Number one, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 to 22, the Lord calls our attention to very serious issues. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from evil. From every form of evil. The first thing we must do to overcome temptation, avoid the source of temptation. If you will not eat meat, don't cut it with your teeth. Avoid it. That is the first way out of every temptation. Avoid the source of temptation. What is that thing that is tempting you? Avoid it. Avoid it. Number two. Build healthy boundaries. Don't only avoid, build a boundary. Tell yourself, I cannot go beyond these limits. If you know your issue is with a woman, create a boundary. What you cannot do with the woman, create a boundary. And I tell you, as a church, we must create boundaries. If you know that you cannot handle money, and they make you treasurer of the fellowship, tell them, sorry, I cannot be the treasurer of the fellowship. You know you cannot control yourself when money is involved, and they make you treasurer. Tell them, sorry, I would have loved to be treasurer, but for now, I cannot be treasurer. It is honorable for you to know that this one is my area of problem. I will create a boundary around it. The third thing we will do if we must overcome temptation, we must commit ourselves to God and his word. Commit yourself to God and his word. James chapter 4, verse 7 says it very clearly, saying we should commit ourselves and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Commit yourself to God and his word. The fourth thing we must do if we must overcome temptation, we must develop an accountability group or partner. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the minister who ministered on Sunday talked about it, that we should confess our sin and our trespasses to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One of the things that have helped me in life is that I have accountability partners. I have people that anytime, any day, they can call me and say, bro, what is happening to you? When I was leaving the seminary, we had a group of seven. And these seven, even after we left seminary, we still call ourselves to pray. We still have a prayer group. Anytime we have minister's conference, we gather, the seven of us, we gather to pray. You know what we tell ourselves? They say, Ike, I have noticed that when we are in school, you never used to be like this. Ike, what is wrong with you? Everybody must have an accountability partner. I always say it everywhere, that every pastor has a pastor. Every pastor has a pastor that he must submit to. And that is life. Because we are not going to end here. There is somebody who should be able to call us and say, no, you didn't do well. Are you here? There is nobody you submit to. Temptation may not be far from you. And if you want to overcome every temptation, have somebody that you submit to. Somebody who can call you anytime and say, you didn't do well. You say, I'm sorry, sir. So that you will not die without anybody knowing that you died. Number five, you must enter into a covenant of commitment with the Lord, or with the Lord. Enter into a covenant of commitment with the Lord. Job 31 verse 1. The Bible says, Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible said that Daniel proposed in his heart. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Bible said Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Why? What is wrong in eating the portion of the king's meat? He realized that the king's meat had been sacrificed to idols. And he said, me, I will not yield to the temptation of eating, even though the meal is sumptuous and very enticing. I will not defile myself. And finally, flee for your life. In Genesis chapter 39, the Bible told us how Joseph fled for his life. Bro, there are some things you can avoid. There are some things you can build a boundary around. There are some things you can commit yourself to. There are some things you can develop people who can help you. There are some things you will enter and make a covenant. I made a covenant some times ago. I said, I will never sleep with a woman that is not my wife. I made this covenant even before I got married. I said, I will never sleep with any woman. And somebody told me, he said, what about your wife? I said, I'm not talking about my wife. I said, when I marry, I will never sleep with any woman before, even after I marry. I said, if I ever try it, let me die while I'm doing it. But after saying that, I said, no, that's wrong. God, allow me finish. When I finish, I can die the next day. But you know why did I say so? I said, I have done so much for the Lord, to the glory of God. Not so much as to, I have done more than enough. But I said, God, let my one moment of carelessness not rubbish the ministry. Let my one moment of rubbish act not make people say, even when others come who are genuine, they say, IK even did more than this, but we know where he died. God, don't let it be. But don't let me wake up the next morning. I want to sleep that night and die the next morning. If the Lord decides to take me home that way, don't say maybe what Pastor Ike did the night before. That's how God may choose to take me home. But you know what? I told myself, I will never do this. And I stood by it. What commitment are you making to overcome a temptation? How far can you go with a commitment? Ever since then, I said that even when I'm sick, mommy will say, my son, did you do anything? I say, mommy, it is not sickness. I will just go like that. What commitment are we making so that we can overcome a temptation? Finally, I said, this man, he fled. Are you ready to flee? There are some things you don't negotiate. A man is trying to tear your cloth. And you're saying, I beg you. Don't beg him. Run away. If you need to jump from the window, jump from the window. If there's a friend you need to cut away from, you that is having the desire for whatsoever, sex or whatsoever, I tell you, it is not a big deal. Cut off every form that is bringing you that kind of desire. Run for your life. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.